B-Pod Studios.
What's up? Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no-good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hour two, 3:06 in the afternoon. Bruins Hurricanes tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Puck drop shortly after 8 o'clock. Obnoxious 8 o'clock starts. Classy problem to have, though. Means you've gone deep, Murray. You start get those 8 o'clock starts, it means you've gone somewhere.
But selfishly, I'm with you. I love a 7 start.
Oh, give me a good tight 7.
I think there should be a national law. Seriously, but like when you get deep into the playoffs, the game should start no later than 7:30.
Oh, God.
But anyway. East Coast time, but anyway, go ahead.
All right. Either way, it's here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. So I think the lead story here tonight is the goaltending and both what they're going to do down there in Carolina after Peter Mrazek absolutely craps his pants in the two games here. Does he go back to Curtis McElhinney, who I've been calling Chris for 2 weeks, and no one's corrected me. So that shows you what a nobody this guy is that not only do I get the name wrong, which I always do, but no one's even there to say it's actually Curtis because no one knows.
Oh, no, we've just given up with you.
Well, maybe that's it. But the dude's 35. Dude's 35. He's had two career playoff starts. That's Curtis McElhinney. You saw him last year. He filled in one of those Toronto playoff games last year, one of the blowout games. So what does Rod Brind'Amour do? That's sort of the big one. And then the goalie difference. You know how you've got the best goalie in the playoffs right now, and they may have the worst goalie left in the, you know, in the tournament, which is just sort of doubly, you can't lose this. You can't lose this. So this is a Felger and Maz sort of, typical Felger and Maz. You go right to sort of the dark cloud or the negative, but that win was so easy, and it feels like such a disparity. Just start in net, and such a mismatch in net, never mind anything else. And you're up 2-0. You can't lose this.
I mean, look, it's in their hands. I mean, all you got to do is come back 3-1.
You can't lose this.
All you got to do is split the two games there and you're golden.
And I don't think that they will, but I do expect them to get more competitive games in these next two, just simply based on how well the Hurricanes have played in that building.
They have to, right?
I mean, to me, if you don't get everything Carolina's got, especially in the first period of that game tonight, then I don't know if there's much hope for that to change. Like, you're down 2-0, you're going home, your season's on the line, you go down 3-0, for all intents and purposes, it's over. Like, if you don't come out ready to go tonight, you're Carolina, you're pathetic.
Okay, so Rod Brind'Amour, in morning skate this morning, is asked about his goaltender situation. Here's the exchange.
Do you have a starting goalie for tonight?
Yep.
Are you going to tell us who it is?
I got to probably say no, just why not? I can't be that guy that does that, right? I know we're starting, but... I guess I'll have to wait and see. Sorry. I don't want to start that.
Maz, your thoughts?
This guy's a jackass. He's a, seriously, I heard him say, are you serious with this? From the day I saw him on the podium for the first time, and look, I know he was a well-respected player, but as a coach, what are you trying to be? You feel bad for the media?
Sorry.
You know, I mean, he sounds like Gronk that day with the celebration. I mean, I want to tell you, but I really can't. You know, coach is going to get mad. So, I mean, I want to tell you guys who's playing goal, but I really can't do that. Sorry.
Sorry.
What? You're the coach. Act like the coach for crying out loud. How about, no, I'm not going to tell you guys. You're just going to have to wait and see. End of story. End of conversation. What are you being so apologetic for it for?
I don't understand what he said. I don't want to be that guy. Who's that guy?
I don't know.
I don't, maybe just tipping his hand. Maybe
he sounds like a drunk at the bar.
I told you
it's completely incoherent. I don't know.
I told you. Remember that day that Gronk stood up there and got the whole thing with the celebration.
Yes, Rob, do you care to comment why you were riding Devin Cook like a pony? And I got that Brandon Cook. Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about it, but I can't talk about it. Like that's how Brind'Amour sounds.
Well,
he's the coach of the team.
Yeah.
And listen, if you don't want to tell us who's playing goal, because you want the you want the Bruins to see it, right? 10 minutes, half hour before the game starts, whatever. Fine. How about just, guys, I know who I'm going with, but I'm really not going to reveal that right now. You just have to wait till game time tonight. Boom. End of story. What's this wishy-washy hemming and hawing sounding like a donkey thing? Oh, my God, does he sound like a jackass? For all I know, he might be the smartest guy in the world. I have no idea. I don't know much about him as a guy. But I look at him, I hear him talk, I say, this guy's an idiot.
Well, with this act and not pulling Mrazek in the third period, he's proving what he is. He's a rookie head coach. And I was wondering if something might show up where maybe the moment's too big for him because a rookie head coach, like, you get this deep. I don't know. I feel like you're going to end up showing that you are a little wet behind the ears at some point. And he's proving to do just that with not pulling Mrazek in that third period and doing this today, sounding like the town drunk up at the podium when he's asked about the goalie.
Sorry.
No, I'm not going
to
be the
guy. I guess I'll have to wait and see. Sorry. I don't want to start that.
Seriously?
Start what?
Goalie controversy? Like, if you're going to start it at 7 o'clock, well, why not start it at 10? Like, what's the difference? But again, to me, it's more about the way he's dealing with it. Like, it feels to me like he's trying to be nice to the media. And so, guys, I feel bad, but, you know, I really can't tell you, you know, but sorry. What? Like, what are you, the first guy that's ever had to do this? What are you, some type of jackass? Like, I just heard him. And honestly, I felt this after game one. When I heard him answering the questions after game one, I said, is this guy all there? Like, are all his synapses firing properly? Are all the wires connected there? Like, am I wrong? He just doesn't. It's like it's not. Seriously, he's just moving slower than everybody else.
Or does he think he's going to create some sort of goalie controversy, which you literally can't do because these are both replacement-level type guys.
And it's like, also too late. There's no such thing as a goalie controversy.
Sorry.
You're trying to win games at this point. You know, it's not about... No, it's the time for goalie controversies are over.
Am I seeing something with this guy? Am I missing something?
He's a player. He's taking a lot of shots. Maybe it's just the way he talks. I don't know. I'd hate to be the guy that, you know, idiot, they're done, blah, and then, you know, something else happens. I've seen that too many times. So, to me, I don't know what he's trying to do.
I'm not telling you they're done or any of that. I'm not going anywhere near that. I'm talking purely about the leadership, the perception of leadership. I even acknowledge in practice, maybe he's airing his players out and holding them accountable. I have no idea. It's entirely possible. I could be way off here. And everyone I've asked about Brendan Moore says, very respected guy.
Oh, as a player, tremendous.
Right? But as a first-time coach, I look at him and I just hear the way, you know, how he projects. I look at him and go, holy crap. Like, they're hopeless if this is what he is in reality.
Well, okay, here's another way they might be hopeless. And this is a Brendan Moore cut. Play number two, Jimmy, in a second. This isn't about Brendan Moore. Unless you want to make it about him, you can. But this is him yesterday talking about his team and the performance there in game two in Boston and how bad it was on Sunday and the reasons behind it. And if this is legit, if he's got his pulse on the team and he knows the way they're thinking and feeling, then you got to wonder if Carolina's just ready to pack it in when you hear this. Or maybe it is a Brendan Moore commentary. But anyway, here's Brendan Moore on the team in game two on Sunday.
The whole thing was not what I've seen all year out of our group. Now, you know, why that would happen, I don't have the answer to that. I mean, you know, it looked like we were really tired. And that's, you know, we haven't only played two games in 10 days, but I think the mental fatigue got to us. There's been a real strong push by our guys for about 4 months, and it just felt like we didn't have that extra gear you need at this time of year.
You talked about the whole fatigue. Is that a concern for you now?
Yeah.
The fact that, does it just go away? No?
It's been a concern. Guys have been around here, you know, I've talked about it with Adam a lot. Like, I'm shocked that we've got this far without having that, you know, because we, you know, from January 1, we've had to get in a playoff mode, and we've had to grind these guys. And, you know, there's only so many times you can go to the well, you know, where they don't respond. And that was, it happened the other night. So, you know, I think there's enough, you know, pride in that room that they're going to dig in for a little more. And, you know, being at home is going to help. I think that's just going to give you that little bit of energy. But, you know, we're going to have to execute a lot better if we want to continue playing.
Okay, so that sounds like a team that's about done.
Ready to pack it in?
That they've already that they were out of the playoffs, you know, when they turned the new year. So from January 1, there was this huge push to get into the playoffs. They start the post-game stuff to sort of turn the tide and get – so there's just this constant grind to get into the playoffs and the grind of the playoffs and sort of added up, and they're mentally fatigued. Played two games in 10 days, and they're mentally fatigued. And is he concerned about it? Yeah. Yeah, he says. He says, I'm shocked it didn't catch up with us sooner. So is that a team that's ready to go? Is that a team that's ready to topple over? That they know they've hit the wall and they've gone as far as they're going to go and that's it? They can't grind it out anymore?
Played like it on Sunday.
So, I mean, is that a coach being honest? Is that an instance of a bozo coach? I mean, I don't know. I mean, we can pick that up on the other side.
I have a theory on it. I'll pick it up on the other
okay,
side.
Okay, Maz has a theory on it. But are they all just playing possum? Are they all just playing possum? Your thoughts and Eddie Olczyk right after this.
This is Felger and Maz.
On 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Maz.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bergeron, tucked it on a cross. Scott, what a on the short side. Forehand, backhand. Almost like right through the glove, and then Hamilton with a shot to Heinen with Slavin on his backside. And then the Bruins come to the aid of Heinen.
That's the NBC call. Game two there. They'll have it again tonight. NBC Sports Network. Eddie Olczyk on the call, and Eddie Olczyk is joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Hotline from Carolina. Well, he'll have the call tonight. Eddie, thanks for taking the time. How you doing?
Edzo.
Hey, guys. Felger, Maz. Nice to be with you guys. Long time. Thanks for having me.
It's nice to hear from you again, Eddie. So, you know, big struggles in net there for Carolina. Your thoughts on Brind'Amour, what he did and how he managed game two, and what he should do tonight and what he's going to do tonight?
Well, I thought, Mike, that I had said during the broadcast that, you know, he would have to have a short leash with Mrazek. I thought once he gave up the third goal, depending on how it went in, that, you know, you could certainly justify pulling him there. But I was a little surprised he didn't make the change. We showed Nakalini on our NBC broadcast going to the intermission before the third, and I thought for sure he was going to give McElhinney an opportunity to get in there, get Mrazek out, because he'd given up eight or nine goals up until that point straight, and then, you know, he just continued, the Bruins continued to pile on. So from about 100 yards away from the ice surface at the press box at the Garden, you know, I would have given the opportunity to McElhinney to get his feet wet a little bit, and then you could sit there and reassess, you know, what you thought. But I would be shocked if McElhinney is not the goaltender tonight for Carolina. So he was very coy today, that being Rod Brind'Amour, which he has the right to do. And I'm sure you guys have seen it in all sports where coaches are pretty close to the vest. So, you know, they need a stop. They need somebody to give their team an opportunity, just like Tuukka did in period two of game one, where Carolina had the Bruins on the run. The Bruins hadn't played very well. I know Brock McGinn missed that wide open net shorthanded to make it 3-1, and then who knows from there. But Tuukka gave his team an opportunity, and we saw what happened in that in game one in the third period.
Eddie, everyone I've asked about Brind'Amour says to me the same thing. Very respected as a player, widely respected, yeah. And yet I listened to the thing this morning, and I thought he sounded wishy-washy about it. And I know he's being coy, but he sounded wishy-washy. Yeah. I want your opinion and perception of him as a coach.
Mm-hmm. Well, Maz, look, I don't think there's anything wishy-washy about Rod Brind'Amour. I've gotten to know him full disclosure, my younger brother, Ricky, was assistant general manager with Carolina for 5.5 years, along with Ronnie Francis. And then Tom Dundon, the owner, this past summer decided to make major changes and fired the management team. And so I know Roddy very well from the workings with Francis and my brother. This is just him just sitting on the fence and not giving anybody anything. And there is no middle ground with Rod Brind'Amour, from players that have played for him, guys that are playing for him now, Maz. I think it's just, kind of his personality to kind of let things kind of be off into the wind there. And, but he, he knows what he's going to do. And again, just, this is my hunch, is that, it's going to be, it's going to be McElhinney, and wouldn't be surprised to see maybe another tweak in the lineup as well, just to give a little bit of an infusion, a little bit of a different look. And look, the Bruins are going to have to weather the storm the first 10 minutes. They are. I mean, that's just Carolina, when they're playing well, their defense are on their toes, their defense are pressing. Like I used the analogy the other day with somebody, guys, was when Carolina is playing their game and playing really well, like it's almost in football where you got, you got 8 or 9 in a box, and you're going to go, look, like we're going to force you to do things until you prove that you can't. And their defense press, like they step up, they get in on the offense, and they haven't been able to do it. Like they did it for stretches in game one. For period two, that probably was the worst game that I've seen them play in a long, long time. I mean, look, the Bruins had something to do with that. But to me, their key is take the goaltending out of it. The key for me for Carolina is, can their defense have the confidence and the ability to press up, force the Bruins to defend a little bit more, and then also have them jump into plays to try to turn 2-on-2s into 3-on-2s or a 1-on-1 into 2-on-1, because they certainly have the defensemen that can do it.
Eddie Olczyk joining us here on the Volkswagen Dealer Expert Hotline. He'll have a call tonight on the NBC Sports Network. Give me your thoughts on Dougie Hamilton.
I saw them, that being Carolina, in the Washington series. And then I saw them for the first couple of games against the Islanders. And then I had to jump off for my Kentucky Derby coverage. At times, Mike, he looks like a dominating, puck-moving, dictating the terms type of guy. Like, it seems like he wants to score every shift, which, obviously that's not a good thing. That's not a good mindset to have.
Eddie, is he soft? Is he too soft?
Well, no. Look, he's always been that way, Mike. There's no way around it. Look, I was doing the game when Ovechkin was going to run him through the end boards on an icing call, and he bailed out. He was pitching hay before the puck even crossed the goal line, and Ovechkin got the puck, he passed out in front of him, and they scored. And look, he bailed. I don't care if he thought it was icing or not. When he realized what was going to happen, he bailed. And we've seen that before, but he does have that ability, Mike, to all of a sudden just show up and the puck is there and the puck ends up in the back of the net. And I think there's something for that. I would compare him offensively to, and stay with me here, is if you have the ability and the want to go to the orchestra and listen, and all of a sudden a cymbal player shows up and just bam, like that's Dougie Hamilton. Like all of a sudden he'll have the puck and it'll be in the back of the net. So look, everybody has strengths. Everybody has weaknesses. Everybody's got blemishes. He bails, yes. He's soft, yes. But he does have the ability. When the game goes offensively, he can be a difference maker. And I think at times in the playoffs, he has been for Carolina.
Eddie, who's the best team left in the field?
Well, I thought going into round two, full disclosure, I'm going to slap myself for this one. Going into the playoffs, I thought Winnipeg, Tampa would be the two teams. And we saw what happened to them. Round two, the way the seeds broke up, I thought Boston, St. Louis, and the Stanley Cup final. And right now, the collision course is looking really good in the East. Who knows what's going to happen in the West? That series has got a chance to go 9 or 10 games. But that is just that's brutal. Like, it is a brutal series, and somebody's going to take a big hit for it, not only the losing wise, but also the winning team. But I would have to say, Mike, I would have to say the Bruins, the way that they're playing, they just seem like they're just starting to click. And if they can get some rest here, you know, assuming they can finish off Carolina. And we all have seen what has happened in these playoffs when teams get too much rest. But the Bruins certainly look like they have, you know, everything in their corner.
Eddie, before we let you go, one of the things that has surprised us is how much room the Bruins have had to operate in the offensive zone, the Carolina defensive zone. Beyond Hamilton, the whole group, how are the Carolina defensemen in their own zone?
I think they're very good, Mass. I mean, look, I think this is a team that is very good defending. They're not a physical defense, and I think that might be a little bit of a hindrance to them because of, I think, the way the Bruins cycle and the way that they like to, I describe it on our broadcast as like very, especially with the big line. But even when you look at Krejci or you look at Jake or you look at Backes, Jake DeBrus, very rarely there's ever those one-on-ones, Mass. There's always another guy around, so making it very difficult. A lot of two-on-one-ing in the offensive zone. Like, I like Carolina's defense a lot. I really do. Like, I've seen this team grow, and I mentioned the relationship and knowing what's gone on here the last 3 or 4 years. Jacob Slavin probably played his worst game that last game too. And he wasn't the only one. Justin Falk was not much better. They're a pretty good defending team, as they really are. And I think at times in the series, the Bruins have had their way with them, but early, and I know it's a small sample size, the first couple of games, the Bruins didn't get a lot. They didn't generate a lot. And I think that's what you see, but I think that they defend the best defense in the world as well when Tom Brady has the ball in his hands, right? And I think for Carolina, that has to be the mindset is, look, let's press up. Let's play 140 feet away from our goaltender, regardless of who it is, and we'll take our chances. But, I like their defense. Like, I think healthy, they're missing Van Riemsdyk. Trevor Van Riemsdyk's a very underrated player. He's out. He got hurt in that Islander series, but everybody has injuries. I get it. I like their defense. I would not mind going to bat with this defense. Yeah, not overly tough, but certainly a very good defending core 1-6.
Eddie, thanks so much for taking the time. We appreciate it. We look forward to the call tonight.
Okay, guys. Nice being with you. Thanks
you
for
too,
having
Eddie.
Me. Appreciate it.
Okay, Eddie Olczyk, NBC Sports Network. You'll hear him on the call tonight on TV. The Sports Hub has the game on the radio, obviously. We'll get to your calls. Bruins, Hurricanes, right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
All right, to your phones as promised. Here's Adam in Rhode Island on Bruins Hurricanes Game 3. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Felger, do you still think that Binnington is playing well this playoffs?
I don't think it was what? Because Couture beat him a couple times last night? They won.
Well, no, I mean, it's been a fairly consistent thing that you've mentioned throughout these past like month plus a few weeks that, Binnington is playing, I believe his quote, your quote was, playing his boobs off.
Yes, you don't think he's played well?
What about Carlson on San Jose? He, I know he's a big name in the NHL and you like to bring him up a lot. Do you happen to know he's a -4, which would put him as the worst defensive plus minus rating in all the playoffs this year?
So, Adam, you don't want Eric Carlson? You don't like him?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I just think that...
And you don't think Binnington's played well? I'm sorry, I cut you off. Do you think Binnington's played poorly?
Absolutely.
Do you think he's played poorly?
He's got a .909 save percentage.
You mean the guy that's 1-1 in the Western Conference Finals is a rookie goaltender?
What's your point? Is it his stats or the fact that you think he's good? Because you
or are you one of these 6-year-olds who just doesn't like people saying good things about other players?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I love you saying as much as you want because it's a free country. I get to say what you say. You build a straw man argument to argue against my facts, and then here we go around the circle.
I don't even know what your facts are, but who in the right – so you don't like Eric Carlson, and you think Bennington's done a bad job. And I didn't drop you. Did someone just drop him?
No.
I didn't drop him.
Bennington's been one of the stories of the playoffs.
He's 6-2 on the road in this postseason. What – What's the that was a, you hit the nail on the head. That was a blowing, because God forbid you actually said something nice about other players.
You don't like hearing other players are good? You know, is that, I have a hard time dealing with someone who just doesn't, you don't want to hear nice things about other players on other teams that aren't even playing you? Is that the thing? You don't like Eric Carlson or Brett Burns? You don't like those guys?
No.
You don't like the rookie goaltender that's gotten to 1-1 in the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, his save percentage is .902.
Last 912. He got beat by Couture twice in like a minute and a half, and other than that, they didn't get anything. They walked into San Jose and tied that series up. I don't know. But if you want more commentary on the other side, I'll give it to you. Both those teams, night and day from what you're seeing here against Carolina, both those teams. You want to talk about defensemen? Bollmeister, Petrangelo, Carlson, Burns, those defensemen, big time. Both sides, both those teams.
I'll tell you what, in some ways, if I'm the Bruins, from that standpoint, I think I'd rather play San Jose.
Yes, because they'll give you a little bit more.
Yes, exactly. I mean, those guys are offensive defensemen, and Carlson's not a tough guy. Like, I think the Bruins would be able to score in that series. Like, that will be an absolute massive theater. That will be awesome, that series.
But the level of play there in that series, you know, it's Carolina's fault, I mean, obviously. But it's just night and day. It's just night and day, that side versus this side. And there's good news and bad news. You know, they'll be used, that side will be used to playing at that level. And you'll have to rise up after, you know, dealing with this collection of garbage there in Carolina. But that also, as Eddie Olczyk said, that could be, he's joking, obviously, a 9 or 10 game series. That's going to be a war. And so San Jose could be looking at its third straight deep series, and you might have a week off. So I think that's probably a good thing for you. Mike in the truck. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, first, I just wanted to apologize for sounding so angry when I called in yesterday. I think this weather's just got me in a bad mood. But
Mike, we don't even remember it. All due respect.
All right. Well, I don't hate the Hurricanes. I do think they're gimmicky, and it might help their attendance, but it doesn't help their game. Like, can you imagine the Bruins? Can you picture Char out on center ice, like, doing the Macarena or something? Like, it's just... It's night and day, these two teams. So, but look, they have the next two games at home. They have an opportunity to shut me up. And if they win tonight, then I'll call back tomorrow and I'll give them their due. But if they get their ass kicked again, like I fully expect them to, then you get something else from me.
Can't lose it. Yeah, Mike, I mean, you're right. I mean, the Carolina doesn't deserve much respect right now, for sure. And just given the tonality coming out of there. Either they're playing a great game of possum or they're cooked.
It's got to be possum.
Where Brindamore says, so again, I'm sorry, we haven't gotten back to that. We gave you the Brindamore quote where he says they're mentally fatigued and does it concern you? Yeah. And like he really sort of said we've been grinding it since January 1. I'm surprised it hasn't caught up to us yet. Sure, it's a concern. And so what, you think he's playing possum?
I do. I think they're playing possum. I think the whole thing is that it makes sense. They got their asses kicked in the last game to the point where I thought the Bruins kind of took their eye off the ball at the end of that game. They got sloppy, they got lazy, and they started to do what I feared they would do, which is think it's easy, and it's not. And if you're Carolina, why not play that up? Play it up. Like, okay, yeah, you know, we're tired and... It's been a long year. We've been grinding, just trying to get into the playoffs. And you know what? Let the Bruins think that you're going to sleep. And then come out in the first period tonight and smash them right in the face. Like, to me, it's got to be that. I'm sorry, they're a hockey team. I don't think hockey players by nature are wired to come in and go, that's over. I just don't think they're wired that way. And so I think it's all playing possum. And in the first, you know, as Eddie Olczyk said, in the first 10 minutes tonight, I think the Bruins are going to get smashed right in the face. And how they handle it will, you know, determine the outcome of game 3. I'm not talking about the series. But if Carolina, how could you possibly come with nothing tonight? There's no chance. I think Tuukka is going to be under siege in the first 10 minutes tonight.
Let's see. If they're playing possum, it's a hell of a good act. We'll play that Brindamore cut again coming back. This is yesterday on the off day. Sounds like they're just about done, and he's concerned about it. And that's the whole tone. You know, listen to it. Coming back, we'll continue with your thoughts right after this. And, oh, a giveaway, something for free. Most importantly, buried the lead. A freebie for you cheapskates right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Matt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The whole thing was not what I've seen all year out of our group. Now, you know, why that would happen, I don't have the answer to that. I mean, you know, it looked like we were really tired. And that's, you know, we haven't only played two games in 10 days, but I think the mental fatigue got to us. There's been a real strong push by our guys for about 4 months, and it just felt like we didn't have that extra gear you need at this time of year.
You talked about the mental fatigue. Is that a concern for you now?
Yeah.
The fact that does it just go away? No?
It's been a concern. Guys that have been around here, you know, I've talked about it with Adam just a lot. Like, I'm shocked that we've got this far without having that, you know, because we, you know, from January 1, we've had to get in a playoff mode, and we've had to grind these guys. And, you know, there's only so many times you can go to the well, you know, where they don't respond. And that was, it happened the other night. So, you know, I think there's enough, you know, pride in that room that they're going to dig in for a little more. And, you know, being at home is going to help. I think that's just going to give you that little bit of energy. But, you know, we're going to have to execute a lot better if we want to continue playing.
All right, imagine he's just playing possum. Is it a concern? Yeah. Shocked we got this far without it. There's only so many times you can go to the well, he says. You don't believe that he's just telling the truth? The team's in grinding since January 1, fighting tooth and nail just to make the playoffs, and they get a surprise victory in round one, sweep round two, and it's just all caught up to him?
I think he's playing it up. I think they're all playing it up, the more I think
when
about it.
You say
it.
Them all. So what you might be referring to Ty Anderson, who you can read at 98.5thesportshub.com. He's down in Carolina covering it for our website. Read it there. Read him online or on Twitter as well. He reports to us what, Murray?
Well, so completely unsolicited, he texted me a little while ago, said, hey, I know you guys are on the air. This Carolina team is so effing cooked. Holy S. So I just write back, hey, from what? Being around them today? Did you see or did you hear something? And he writes back, I'm transcribing from their availability. First of all, Sebastian Aho is basically crying and just says a lot when he's been asked about what needs to change to generate more offense. Then Brett Pesce drops this one. Quote, I think we're a little mentally fatigued. That might have been the first time where, I don't want to say we gave up when we were down in the game, but, and then you got the coach pulling the mystery goalie card. I'm with you. Get these bums the F out of here. He followed up, did Ty, saying, every Canes player that talked today looked like they were being told, oh, by the way, we're executing you after this interview wraps up right before going up to the podium. They're so unbelievably tight.
So, like, I want to separate what I'm saying about Brendan Moore from this.
Yep.
Okay, because when I hear Brendan Moore talk about the goalies, I'm talking about how he's dealing with the media. He sounds to me like, yeah, you know, I don't want to hurt your guys' feelings, but... And I'm like, what does that got to do with anything? Hurt their feelings. Media people are a bunch of losers anyway. Like, we're all losers. Hurt our feelings. We don't care. It's
but you
fine.
Think the team's playing possum.
But the thing about the mental fatigue, that's playing possum. They know they sucked in game two. The Bruins went to sleep at the end of that game. Why wake them up? Why wake them up? Let them sleep. So I can't imagine. Again, I'm sorry. It's hockey. If this were baseball, I'd tell you a team would quit. Or if it were the Celtics, I'd tell you they'd quit. A hockey team? I don't think so. I don't think Carolina's gutless. I don't think they're that. I don't know if they have enough talent to beat the Bruins, but I can't imagine that they're going to go home for game three and say, oh, God, you know what? We're tired, guys. We don't want to be here. Well, after all the stuff they've been doing after games and how much fun they've had there all year, the bunch of jerks, and now they're just going to back it in? No way. They're playing possum. And if the Bruins take the cheese on any of this, they're stupid.
Okay, Brian and Fitchburg, your thoughts.
This Carolina Hurricanes team is the sophomore on prom night who miraculously finds himself in the backseat of his dad's Toyota Corolla with a senior. It just, they're there. They're, oh, my God, what do I do now mentality is ridiculous. And you heard it the other night with Justin Williams. I mean, the whole poop sandwich was kind of funny, but you're the captain of the team. And if you look deep into what he said, He's basically saying, we don't know what we're doing, and I'm afraid that I can't get these guys to play the way they need to play, like the LA Kings, in order to beat the Bruins.
So, Brian, you think they're not playing possum, that's what they are. They're mentally weak, they're fragile, and this thing is over.
I don't believe that for a second. Justin Williams is a winner. That guy's a winner. You're going to take the cheese from that guy?
Let's see. We'll find out tonight, won't we, Maz? That's the beauty of it. It plays out. Then one of you two get to show up the next morning and go, bleh. John in Alston. John, what do you got?
Oh, yeah. If Carolina's playing possum, that's fine. They could be great at playing possum. I just don't think they're very good at playing hockey. So I'm going to look right past them and look at the San Jose Sharks. I'm terrified of them. Tony, you'd rather play them? I've got two words for why you don't want to play San Jose, and that's Joe Thornton. That's hockey god magic, and him scoring in Game 7 in overtime to lift the cup in Boston. I see that in my dreams the last four nights. Ever since they announced Carolina, I've been thinking about Joe Thornton.
So my two words why I don't want to play San Jose goes Brett Burns. That guy's a bad mofo. That's a guy I don't want. But there is something to the hockey gods and Destiny's Darlings and that sort of thing, and it ain't, you know, if it's you and the Sharks, it ain't you.
Oh, no, no, it's definitely them again. Go back to Vegas, Game 7, that whole stupid thing with the five-minute major and the four power play goals. Then they get another gracious call in the last series in Game 7 on the phantom offside, and it wasn't really phantom, but the chintzy offside.
Yep.
The goal gets called back. They win that one. So, look, all I'm telling you, the Blues are more beatable, I think. Bruins San Jose would be a whale of a series to watch.
Okay, we have a giveaway coming up in a few minutes. Yes, Murray, I'm sorry. You're just about to say something?
I was going to say, well, the Destiny's Darling things. You could say that about the Hurricanes now. You can even
sure.
You can apply it to the Blues as well.
Okay, except San Jose's Destiny's Darlings with talent. With talent.
Fair. Okay.
Never mind Thornton. Hurdle, Meyer, Couture.
The two defensemen.
Pavelski. I mean, so
they're loaded. They're loaded. Stacked.
The only weak link defensemen. Is the goalie.
I like Vlasic, too. Burns, Carlson, Vlasic. The goalie's supposed to be a weak link, but I don't know. He's on the verge of his second Stanley Cup final in 3 years. Again, you want to bash him? I guess you can.
And you traded him to him.
But, I mean, either way, I have a lot of respect for San Jose, their roster. The fact that every dog has their day, and it feels like it's that kind of era where all these guys are breaking through now.
Mike, Bruins San Jose would be a great series. With the way those regular season games were, those things were freaking bloodbaths.
Oh, remember?
They were awesome.
Chara and Evander Kane?
Oh, great. It was great stuff.
But again, I mean, Couture, Pavelski, Hurdle, Meyer, Kane, three great defensemen. That's a good team. They are also one of pro sports' greatest choke artists of all time. One of the great perennial losers at this time of year.
So were the Capitals last year.
So were the Blues. The Blues have never won a cup. Okay. They're like the oldest team in the NHL that hasn't won a cup.
It's a good point.
So what is your point?
The Bruins have no business not winning the cup this year. That's my point.
If San Jose has their act together, that's a formidable opponent. That if the Sharks are the one team that also, and St. Louis has their, believe me, they got two great defensemen too. I'm just going to upset the previous caller, but their goalie's playing well. But if the Bruins play their game, they should beat St. Louis. The San Jose Sharks, if the Bruins play their game and the Sharks play their game, they could be better and they could win that series.
I think the Sharks have more high-end talent.
And that's not blasphemous unless you want to make it so. Nate in Manchester on the Bees. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, so we're all kind of agreeing here that, like, Tuukka's having a really good playoff, and he's also very streaky. Kind of with that being said, with how well he's played the last five games or so, if they win tonight, do you give Halak game four and try and give him a rest, or
no?
You just let him keep seeing the pucks. See, I agree with that right there. You let him keep seeing the pucks because you don't want to fall into a shell. You know what I mean? You got to keep him, going.
So there's going to be 8 days off. I mean, if they sweep the game one, again, I think, not that I know, but the last 4 years, game one has been a Memorial Day. What?
I hate this. I hate this logic. I hate it. Like, yeah, you get up 3-0. Maybe they should rest Bergeron, too. So how many guys you want to rest?
So this is the problem with Sunday. It now appears so easy that you can start dinking around with your lineup.
Oh my! So again, this one sends me over the edge. Because what it is a lack of respect for the game, not the opponent. The game, the nature of the game, what playoff hockey is, how it can go. Because we all know it's hard. It's not easy. Don't fall into that. You fall into that, you're a sucker. You're a sucker. It's not easy. And you would get a ton of time off anyway if you sweep them in four. So what the hell are you doing here? You're wasting energy on stupid crap like this?
They're up 6-0 in the third period.
No. Nope. I mean, if you wanted to tell me, well, I don't want him to get hurt, they're going to run the goalie, that I would buy. But the rest?
Okay, so the fact that this is even on the table makes you concerned.
It irritates the crap out of me. I just hate it because you're getting too cavalier. It's just the whole thing's getting, we got this in our back pocket, no problem. It's stupid. You're a sucker if you think that way.
We started with Kraft. We can still hit on that. We've given you a Bruins hour. We'll hit on that for the rest of the show. We do want to introduce the porking of the ping pong balls, which comes tonight. Bend over, Boston. Here comes another NBA draft lottery. First, caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985 will score a pair of tickets for WWE SmackDown Live, returning to the Dunkin' Donuts Center in Providence May 21st. Don't miss all of your favorite SmackDown superstars. Tickets still available at Ticketmaster.com. Also, don't forget to listen to Jimmy Stewart's Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast on 985thesportshub.com and the 985thesportshub app. It's a great take. Good luck on the tickets. To the ping pong balls after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials. He'll give you an update on the Carolina goaltending situation.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.